Young Turks. We got a tough show ahead for you guys today. Lots of uncomfortable conversations, because that is the times that we are in. There are, if you think there's a lot of news out there about sexual assault, sexual harassment, you are right. Because it is not a new epidemic, it's one that's been around a long, long time. We're just now finding out about the scope of it, and it is daunting. So we've got stories in the first hour, we got stories in the second hour. In the second hour, more stories about Brett Ratner, now involving Russell Simmons. That's tough. I know Russell Simmons a tiny bit. It'll be a tough conversation. And then we also have Glenn Thrush, a New York Times reporter that's been accused. These are important conversations to have, and I think that they require nuance. We're going to try to give that to you at not inconsiderable risk of being misunderstood. So that's going to be later in the program. Don't worry, I'm going to start with something fun in a second. But I want to tell you about one other story that's going to be in the news today. Story out about General McMaster. He is a top official for Donald Trump. Has apparently called Trump a dope. Has the mentality of a kindergartner. Now, is that story true? More importantly, whether it's true or not true, why was it leaked today? That is an amazing story. The story is interesting in and of itself, but why it exists is even more interesting. That's just a little bit later in this hour. So get the whole show, by the way, ad free by going to tytnetwork.com/join. All right, let me start with the first story, which is fun. Okay. CNN was doing a focus group, as they like to do from time to time, of Donald Trump voters. And boy, they're an interesting lot, as you're about to see. But particularly, we want to talk about Mark Lee here. He is he's a Jamaican man, apparently, according to his own words. He's now, of course, lives in America and is a citizen and voted for Trump. And he's a business owner. And does he still support Trump? Oh, yes, beyond your wildest imaginations. He's about to say something unbelievable that even the rest of the panel finds unbelievable, but I think unfortunately is indicative of a lot of the followers of Donald Trump and what I would call the cult of Donald Trump. First, let's start off nice and easy before he gets to the even more outrageous stuff. But first, Swamp, I thought you were against the Swamp. Allison Camerota, again, doing a great job here at CNN, asking, well, if you've got all these people who are powerful elites, that are now, for example, and she didn't get into this level of detail, but rewriting the tax code to their own benefit. I thought you guys were against the Swamp. So let's see how that conversation goes.
The Swamp is horrible. And Trump is there. He's there for the small guy. He's there for people like myself.
Though his cabinet is filled with multimillionaires.
I love that. They're not politicians.
And you don't see them as part of the Swamp who have capitalized on the system.
In a capitalist system, you're allowed to make money. Being rich is good.
Yeah, so then what is the Swamp?
The Swamp for me, the
mainstream,
is yes, you almost nailed it. It's the mainstream. It's the elites that look down on a small guy like myself.
But Mark, the Trump's cabinet is laughing at you right now. The tax cuts, 80% of them are going to the top 1%. And by the year 2027, anyone making under $75,000 is getting a tax increase. They're robbing from the poor to give to the rich. Now, in the case of this gentleman here, I don't know how wealthy he is. He says he owns a business, so maybe he's among the wealthy and thinks that's fantastic. I can't wait to rob the poor for my own benefit. It's my swamp now. I don't know. I don't know his intentions. I do know he's a little touched, as you're about to see in a second. But when you have a cult like this, it doesn't matter what the facts are. Hey, they are benefiting themselves. They are taking money from people that are the small guys, as you described it, and giving it to themselves. Trump is getting rid of the estate tax. It's going to save his kids over $1 billion if Trump is right about his wealth. That's enriching himself and his family, let alone the alternative minimum tax. That's going to save him, again, if his numbers are accurate, hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes. He's doing all of this. He's creating a giant deficit to benefit himself. That is a swamp. But you don't want to see it because, nope, Donald Trump is a demigod. In his case, quite literally, get a load of what he says next.
You know, I own a pest control company. It's not much, but it's mine. You know, and I work hard for it. You know, I never went to college, just your typical guy who's trying to make a living. And for years, they've been just kicking us to the side. And here comes the president. Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ gets down off the cross and told me Trump is with Russia, I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
Wow. So this is exactly how a cult operates. It doesn't matter. Whatever dear leader says, I believe it. Christian, Jesus, is he an important figure? I don't know if he's an important figure. Donald Trump, obviously above Jesus. Above Jesus. I'm sure that if you asked Mark Lee, he would tell you he was a devout Christian. You're no such thing, man. Look, I don't care to judge other people's religions and their degree of religiosity. But if you are a Christian and you think Donald Trump is above Jesus Christ and you'd have to check with Trump to see if Jesus is telling the truth, I'm not sure that you've read the Bible or really understand what it means. Okay, I wasn't the only one shocked by that statement. Even his fellow Trump-loving panelists were a little surprised. JR, producer, has done a great job of noting their surprise. Let's take a look at it one at a time.
I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
Why do you believe Donald Trump over everybody else? Why?
Okay, I'll give her credit. She was as surprised as the rest of us, like, wow, Jesus, Lord mercy. Quite literally. I've been to Jamaica too. All right, well, let's take a look at the next reaction.
I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
Why do you believe Donald Trump over everybody else? Why?
I love the woman's reaction. Now we're going to go to the last guy here. But notice that he doesn't seem quite as put back by it. He seems kind of entertained by the idea. Let's watch.
I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
Why do you believe Donald Trump over everybody else? Why?
That was looking like, But I'm not putting that statement on anyone but Mark Lee, who was the man preposterous enough to make it. You might not be surprised if you know what he does regularly, apparently, at Mar-a-Lago. At first, when this part of the clip began and I was watching it, I thought, oh, okay, he goes to Mar-a-Lago. Maybe he really is rich and he's going to get some of those tax cuts. That's fine. No, find out why he goes to Mar-a-Lago.
I believe in him. He's a good man. He has taken so much shots for us.
Why do you think it's he's more trustworthy than the based Intel
on,
community?
It's based on everything he's been doing. He's been winning. Listen, I go to Mar-a-Lago. Whenever he's coming in, hold up my sign.
And what does your sign say?
Blacks for Trump. I'm Jamaican, I'm black. I love the guy.
I think that he is getting one part of that sign wrong. Maybe black for Trump. But there are a couple of guys, there are. And they're in the cult. And whatever the dear leader says is true. It doesn't matter what Jesus thinks, doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Now you wonder why they don't trust the media. I mean, look, the conversation about the mainstream media is a gigantic one and a little bit separate. But even when they do things that are clearly true, these guys go, no, I wouldn't believe Jesus if Jesus told me that Trump was doing something wrong. You think I'm going to listen to CNN? I'm going to listen to the New York Times? Of course they're not going to believe what the news reports because they're in a cult. They're not thinking for themselves. They have given away their judgment to their leader. I mean, the guy wastes his weekends going to Mar-a-Lago so that the dear leader can see his sign, blacks for Trump. It's one of the saddest and yet most amusing things I've ever heard. The only thing I can say is I am super glad I don't have that guy's life. Okay. I should be his dear leader. I'm Mr. Jamaica. You know, I don't know what he's doing. Why are you showing up here with signs about how great I am. All right, anyway, get your priorities right. Have I mentioned to you before that I'm Mr. Jamaica? All right, let's move on, let's move on. Okay, let's go to Kellyanne Conway. Now, the other day, Kellyanne Conway actually said something refreshing. Well, believe it or not, right? I mean, it wasn't a grand statement, it was a very obvious statement, but at least she said it, so let's watch.
A lot of people think that Roy Moore should be removed.
Well, and I'll repeat what our White House Director of Legislative Affairs said on a Sunday show. We were on different Sunday shows. Whatever the facts end up being, the premise is, of course, the principle, the incontrovertible principle, is that there's no Senate seat that's worth more than a child.
Absolutely.
And we all want to put that forward. I have three daughters and a son. Frankly, we all are watching this.
There you go. Finally, something good out of Kellyanne Conway. No Senate seat is worth the life of a child. I think at least all of us can agree to that. That was on November 16th. Well, she went on Fox and Friends again this morning and thinks, well, maybe there is something worth a child's life. Let's watch.
I think the Democrats are in big trouble because they have to defend 25 Senate seats next year, 10 in states the president won, 5 he won by massive double digits. And Doug Jones in Alabama, folks, don't be fooled. He'll be a vote against tax cuts. He's weak on crime, weak on borders. He's strong on raising your taxes. He's terrible for property owners.
So
and Doug Jones
Moore
is a doctrinaire liberal, which is why he's not saying anything and why the media are trying to boost him.
So vote Roy Moore.
I'm telling you that we want the votes in the Senate to get this tax bill through. And if the media were really concerned about all these allegations and that what this was truly about and the Democrats, Al Franken would be on the ash heap of bygone half funny comedians.
Oh, so there is something worth a child's life, integrity, and the violation of a girl who was 14 years old. It turns out it's tax cuts. We have our answer. Well, nothing is worth that. I mean, unless we're going to give tax cuts to billionaires and to multinational corporations, then really, what's a little child molestation among friends? Kellyanne Conway, those are your two sets of words there. One saying nothing is worth it, then coming back on and saying, yes, we want your votes for Roy Moore because of tax cuts. By the way, what are you talking about? Senator Franken is all over the news. We've covered him in the past. We're going to cover him again today. And you want to bring up Senator Franken and allegations of touching women inappropriately? Well, then your boss should resign immediately because there's 16 of those allegations against him. These people have no bounds of decency at all. Here's more from Kellyanne Conway, who thinks apparently the life of a child is not that big a deal if she's got tax cuts.
Excuse me?
But the RNC has withdrawn support for Roy Moore. Mitch McConnell's withdrawn support. So is the Young Republicans vote withdrawn for support
and
for
a lot
Roy
of
Moore.
Women.
Right. And you know what? I just want everybody to know Doug Jones. Nobody ever says his name. And they pretend that he's some kind of conservative Democrat in Alabama, and he's not.
Kellyanne.
And yes.
Will the president be going back down to Alabama to campaign on behalf of Roy Moore before the special election?
There's no plan to do that.
Oh, so I see. That's the distinction. In fact, Mark Short, the White House Legislative Affairs Director, said if he did not believe that the women's accusations were credible, referring to Trump, he would be down campaigning for Moore. He has not done that, which actually makes it worse. So he does believe the women. He believes that Roy Moore drove a 14-year-old 30 minutes into the woods, took off almost all her clothes and tried to get her to touch his naked genitalia. A 14-year-old, which is against the law in Alabama. Apparently he believes them, that's why he's not down there campaigning. But he sent Kellyanne Conway on TV to say, a child in the woods, naked, a man in his 30s taking advantage of that child. What's the big deal? We got tax cuts for the rich we gotta pass. Remember, don't vote for the other guy, we need votes for Roy Moore. Your position, Kellyanne, is crystal clear. Thank you. They are horrible people. Okay, now speaking of horrible people, more defense of Roy Moore, that gets worse and worse. Okay. Roy Moore has been accused of inappropriately touching, to say the least, many girls under the age of 18. There are some 16 to 18 year olds he has admitted dating and says he likes beautiful young girls. He does not admit that he sexually assaulted a 14-year-old when he drove her into the woods into his house and took off almost all her clothes, took off all his clothes, etc. Okay? And tried to get her to touch his naked genitalia. He does not admit that he took a 16-year-old in his car and drove around to the back of the parking lot and tried to rape her. Now, those are stories that have come out. They're They're very credible. They're so credible that even Republican leadership has turned on Roy Moore and said that even if he wins, he maybe should not be seated. Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, says that he believes the women. He left a 16-year-old on the cold pavement, half naked after he had tried to take her clothes off and she fought back and he pushed her out of the car. That's who Roy Moore is. By the way, she has evidence of him signing her yearbook before that incident, talking about what a cute little girl that she is. He's in his 30s at the time. But nope, some conservatives think not only do they not believe the women, but that even if they did believe the women, what's the big deal? Okay, you think it's an exaggeration? Listen to them for yourself. Here's Wayne Allyn Root, a despicable right-wing talk show host.
And by the way, let's even throw the idea out there that it's true that 39 years ago, Roy Moore was a 32-year-old district attorney, handsome and swashbuckling, and he was hitting on some young girls who were pretty. I saw the pictures. They were beautiful young girls, and they could have passed for 20.
He was a swashbuckling handsome. How do you even know how handsome he was or how swashbuckling? But that's, you know, that's the thing. That's what these guys, they think, hey, you want to hit on a 14-year-old. Now that's wrong. Yes, it's wrong. And I saw the picture he's referring to. I don't want to keep showing the picture of a 14-year-old girl. But she, you know what she looks like? 14. It's a picture with her mom. She looks like a young girl that doesn't look anywhere near 20. I'll give you more details. This is from Brad Reed at Raw Story. He said, in reality, one of Moore's accusers says that he tried to force her to touch his genitals when she was 14 years old. So it's not a thing about it. Wayne Allyn Root said, oh, he was just kissing them. What's the big deal? No, he did way worse than that. He then said, additionally, Moore knew that at least some of the women he was pursuing were still teenagers because he sought some of their parents' permission to date their daughters. Oh, I mean, how could have been 20? I mean, he asked permission from the 16-year-old's mom if this pervert can date, this 32-year-old guy could date the 16-year-old and try to have sex with her. So, but could have been 20. No, Moore knew she wasn't 20 in that case. Root went on to claim that while Moore may have indeed made sexual advances towards teenagers, he at least wasn't a homosexual like Hillary Clinton or former President Barack Obama. These people are lunatics and dangerous ones. Because if Wayne Allyn Root thinks it's no big deal for a man in his 30s to try to make out with a 14-year-old and then do far worse, well, he's also very dangerous. But we're not done yet. We now go to pastors, evangelical pastors. Now, these are men of the cloth. I mean, these are men who are really religious and hence moral, right? So the Boston Globe did a good job. They went and asked them. So they interviewed nearly 10 evangelical pastors, all of whom said the allegations did not change their support for the candidate. Of course not. One of the guys was Pastor Earl Wise. He said, I don't know how much these women are getting paid, but I can only believe they're getting a healthy sum. So no, never believe the women. It's not to say that all women are by definition right, but here you have the almost the entire Republican leadership saying that they are right. You've got untold number of witnesses, including at the time the women come out of this situation, reported to their boyfriends, to their loved ones from all the way back then when they had no idea that Roy Moore would ever run for the Senate or have any important political position. And they had told people back then, but no. Earl Wise, an evangelical pastor, says, no, I don't believe them. They're all getting paid for it. But it gets worse. He says, there ought to be a statute of limitations on this stuff. How these gals came up with this, I don't know. They must have had some sweet dreams somewhere down the line. I'm pretty sure that the 16-year-old who said that Roy Moore tried to rape her in his car and tore her clothes off and tried to force her head down onto his genitals did not have sweet dreams about it. These men are disgusting and saying like, oh, come on, why is there a statute of limitations on child molestation? By the way, there's a statute of limitations on almost all other crimes in Alabama, but not on child molestation. And here's an evangelical pastor saying, oh, now you molest a 14-year-old and you can't get away with it? If they find out later, there's gotta be a limit on that. But he's not done. He says, plus, there are some 14-year-olds who, the way they look, could pass for 20. In other words, here's these pastors who keep looking at 14-year-olds, thinking about how attractive they look, as attractive as they think 20-year-olds apparently look. 10 evangelical pastors, all of them said, nope, don't care about kids, morality, whatever. Women are probably liars, they're probably doing it for the money, and even if they're not, in the case of Earl Wise, it's just so what? I mean, some 14-year-olds look hot. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea that this is all Christians or all Christian leaders, absolutely not. A group of nearly 60 progressive pastors has denounced Roy Moore, calling him extremist and unfit for office. Now, those are progressive pastors. Evangelical pastors, on the other hand, supporting Roy Moore, well, now you know what you're getting with them, and I wouldn't put any kids in any of their churches, and I wouldn't trust them if your kids' lives depended on it. But they seem to think, I don't care if you're in my tribe. Morality was always a punchline, apparently, for them. They never, ever cared. It was all a front for tribalism. If you're in my tribe, I protect you. Even if you've done something terrible to other people, even in our own tribe. But that's okay, they had it coming, they were cute 14-year-olds. Why do they stick with Roy Moore? He's against the other tribes. He hates the same people I hate. For conservative evangelical pastors that are backing Roy Moore today, that is apparently what they mean by family values. I hate the same people as Roy Moore. Wow, what values? At least thank you for making it clear. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read a couple tweets for you. First one's about Mark Lee, that Jamaican guy who says he takes Trump over Jesus. Don't you see, I'm Loco writes in, how much would you bet that Trump looks at that guy with a sign and laughs at him from the limo? I'd bet almost any amount of money. There's no way that Trump sees that Mark Lee holding that sign, Blacks for Trump, and doesn't snicker. That guy is so sad. Anyway, have your own opinion, writes in. Doesn't Conway have daughters in their teens? They should ask her if she'd let Moore babysit her kids. Look, I don't want to get into people's kids, so let's leave Kellyanne Conway out of it. But that's a decent standard, though, on whether you'd vote for Roy Moore. Yeah, if you'd let your 14-year-old daughter in a room or a house or a car alone with Roy Moore, then you go ahead and vote for him. But by the way, I'd tackle you and make sure I got her out of there. All right, Mary says, as a Christian, I don't ever want to hear these evangelical pastors who still support Moore ever shitting on the Catholic Church's pedophilia problem. They are evidently cut from the same cloth, all disgusting hypocrites. Certainly seems fair enough in this context. Okay, guys, one more thing. We got Black Friday coming up, that's later this week, right? So we're doing 10 days of sales at shoptyt.com. So this last one's pretty cool. You're gonna need a free poster if you spend over $100, bless your heart. And if you want more deals, you're gonna text 228466, 228466. And so this is day 6 of the 10 days of Black Friday, and you get that super cool poster for free if you've got over $100 in order. So thank you guys. All right, now let's get back to the news of the day. A really fun and interesting story out of BuzzFeed. It is about National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. Now, he's calling Donald Trump names behind his back, apparently, which I love. These are some of my favorite stories. But wait, because there's a twist near the end of this story. There might be a reason why this is in the news in the first place, and it is to torpedo McMaster. So find out how they might be doing that and why. So I'll get to that in a second. First, let me tell you what it is. So McMaster apparently mocked President Trump's intelligence at a private dinner with a powerful tech CEO, according to 5 sources with knowledge of the conversation. Okay, so what did he say? The top national security official dismissed the president variously as, quote, an idiot and, quote, a dope, with the intelligence of a, quote, kindergartner, the sources said. Now, I find this to be the least surprising thing in the world. If McMaster didn't even say it, I'm sure he thought it. Now, they have five sources. They actually have a sixth source that you'll hear about in a second. But I'll tell you about why those sources might be leaking this at this point. But is Donald Trump a dope? Of course he is. Does everybody who worked with him know that? They know it better than we do. That's why they told Bob Corker, the senator from Tennessee, hey, go warn people. We got to babysit this guy. He is dangerous and unstable. And of course, as everybody knows, Rex Tillerson, apparently also his own Secretary of State, behind the scenes called him a moron. Anyone that could turn on television or Twitter can see that with their own eyes and hear it with their own ears. You don't need McMaster to tell you that. But if you work with him, trust me that you would get a lot more frustrated. Because the more I found out about him during the campaign, the more I was telling you his number one problem is actually incompetence. The man is a buffoon of the highest order. You don't need to spend that much time to know that, but if you do, if you're forced to spend a lot of time with him, like McMaster is, it is unsurprising that you would come to that conclusion. Now, nonetheless, the spokesperson for the National Security Council, Michael Anton, says no. Quote, those false comments represent the diametric opposite of General McMaster's actual views. Really, the diametric opposite? He thinks Trump is a genius and a mastermind? Okay, I doubt it. A sixth source, who was not familiar with the details of the dinner, told BuzzFeed News that McMaster had made similarly derogatory comments about Trump's intelligence to him in private, including that the president lacked the necessary brain power to understand the matters before the National Security Council. Again, these are not shocking allegations. Unless you're in the Trump cult, you could see very clearly that he is not a very bright guy, to say the least. Okay, I mean, look. Even if you think Trump, no, he's a big businessman. He inherited all his money and he went bankrupt six times. He's a total loser. But even if you look at that and go, no, I didn't know the bankruptcy is any, I don't know, he looks rich, fine, right? Well, why would he then admit on national TV that he fired James Comey, the head of the FBI, because he was looking into a Russian investigation of Trump? Who would be that stupid to admit that against their own self-interest? There's no three-dimensional chess. There's barely two-dimensional checkers going on with Trump. Okay, more from BuzzFeed. Indeed, three of the sources said that McMaster disparaged multiple members of the administration to Katz, that's the CEO from Oracle that he was talking to, including Tillerson, Secretary of Defense James Mattis, former White House Chief Strategist Steve Bannon, and President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner. Of Kushner, one source told BuzzFeed News, McMaster said he had no business being in the White House and should not be involved in national security issues. Well, that also is undeniably true, but Kushner's incompetence is overpowered by Donald Trump's incompetence. Neither one of them should be in the White House. But now here comes the twist, and this is very interesting. So the person that they were talking to, or McMaster was talking to there, is Oracle CEO Safra Katz, okay? And we're going to get to everybody's motivations here, but an unnamed source said that Katz said the conversation was so inappropriate that it was jaw-dropping. Now, the top lobbyist for Oracle says, no, this conversation didn't happen. But no matter what, the top lobbyist for Oracle would say that. But is Katz throwing McMaster under the bus here by revealing this publicly? It might be her or it might be someone else at Oracle. So, let's find out when all this surfaced in the first place. News of the July dinner first surfaced in August when Axios reported that Republican mega donor Sheldon Adelson decided to support a campaign alleging that McMaster was anti-Israel after speaking with Katz about her meeting with the National Security Advisor. That decision stemmed, multiple sources tell BuzzFeed News, from comments McMaster made to Katz praising President Obama's nuclear deal with Iran and describing Israeli settlements in Palestinian territory as a major problem. So Joseph Bernstein, who wrote the story for BuzzFeed News, reporting that, well, you should also keep in mind that the real problem with McMaster is not that he thinks that President Trump is a dope, but that he thinks the settlements are a major problem. And the Iran deal was a good one. You know why? Because the Iran deal was an excellent deal. They no longer have uranium, cannot develop it for nuclear weapons. So, but Sheldon Adelson is a massive right winger on the issue of Israel. And so anyone who says the settlements are not a problem are not his guy. So McMaster must be removed. This is some serious skullduggery. So behind the scenes, Adelson, a major, massive donor to the Republican Party, apparently trying to pick off cabinet members based on what their views are of settlements in a different country. Gee, I wonder if money in politics is a problem, where guys like Adelson are allowed to give tens of millions of dollars in what are obviously legalized bribes, and then they go order people around and say, no, I don't like that cabinet member, I like the other one. You allow private financing of elections, you get people serving private interests. So, and if they can't get their way, no, they gotta find a different way to take out a guy like McMaster, who has an opinion, not about this country, but about a different country that they don't like. They don't like his opinion about a different country. Okay, McMaster, and now this is Mediaite. We go to Lawrence Bonk, who's reporting on this, notes that a lot of folks raise their eyebrows about this story. Bernstein says, look, I know, we talked about it internally as to why this story was being leaked months later, but he believes that his sources are accurate. But anyway, media reports, McMaster booted National Security Council official Ezra Cohen Watnick in August as part of his purge of the council, in which he fired many Bannon loyalists. Guess where Cohen Watkin works now, or Watnick? Oracle. The same software company whose CEO met with McMaster for the dinner in which he is alleged to have gone off on Trump. So a guy gets fired by McMaster for being, and he's, I mean, these people are working at Oracle. I thought Oracle was a good company. You have these, I mean, I don't know anything about cats, but Ezra Cohen Watnick is a lunatic. So he got fired for being a lunatic from the Trump administration. That's how crazy he is. So he gets fired, and Oracle's like, oh, great, a total incompetent buffoon with wild, insane conspiracy theories. Come on over to Oracle. Then at Oracle, all of a sudden, there's all these sources saying, oh, do you know what McMaster said about Trump? Oh, McMaster can't be trusted. He thinks that President Trump is not bright. But behind the scenes, as the original report, as Bernstein unveiled at BuzzFeed News, their real concern with him is the settlements. Adelson and some of the other guys, what, apparently really like the settlements. Oh, hey, we've occupied these people for decades and decades and never given them freedom. Yay! Let's make sure we keep that policy up. By the way, they do not represent all of Israel, and they do not represent Jewish Americans. That is their own opinion, and they are right wingers. There are many great people on the left and moderates who don't agree, who believe there should be a two-state solution, and who don't believe that you should try to destroy people's career if you disagree. So at least now you know what the real game is and what's at hand here. So by the way, McMaster's a right winger. I got no love for McMaster, but this is not the reason to try to remove him from the Trump administration. And this is some really, really dirty politics, as usual, from Sheldon Adelson. We're all supposed to have one vote. Yeah, we both get one vote, except Adelson gets to put in 10, 20, $50 million into politicians' pockets and then tell them what to do about foreign policy. It's sick, it's gross on its face. Okay. Let's go to Al Franken. Unfortunately, there are new allegations about Senator Al Franken. Recently, Leanne Tweeden had come out and said that she had been groped by Senator Al Franken, and that he had involuntarily kissed her backstage. And Al Franken has said that he should be investigated for that, which is a lot more than you could say for Republicans facing similar situations. Okay, now there is a new allegation. Lindsay Menz, a 33-year-old, told CNN in a report published on Monday, Franken, quote, inappropriately touched her in 2010 while posing for a photograph at the Minnesota State Fair. And Menz says about Leanne Tweeden, I don't want to paint my story in the same light as hers. If someone sees that I said something, maybe it would give them the courage to say something too. Then she explains what happens. Menz told CNN that she was at the fair because her father's business was sponsoring a booth. She spent the day taking photos with local elected officials, political candidates, and celebrities, one of which happened to be Franken's. As Menz's husband went to take a photo of her and Franken, Menz said the senator pulled her, quote, in really close, like awkward close. And as my husband took the picture, he put his hand full-fledged on my rear. It was wrapped tightly around my butt cheek. So, look, being too close in a picture, I don't know, right? Her description of what happened is clearly unacceptable. So, we don't have to bother explaining why it's unacceptable. But she explains further, it wasn't around my waist, in case you were unclear. It wasn't around my waist. It wasn't around my hip or side. It was definitely on my butt. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Okay, Menz's husband corroborated the account, noting that Franken, who was a first-term senator at the time, pulled Menz in and pushed his head against her head, and that she had told him immediately after the exchange, he totally grabbed my butt. Okay, now look, there are disturbing parts of the story on all fronts. Obviously, if these allegations are true, they're deeply disturbing. The Democrats have taken them very seriously and have called for an ethics investigation, as they should. That is correct. Roger Stone tweeted out the day before any of the revelations came out that it was Senator Franken's turn for the hot seat. So how did a political operative Republican hatchet man Roger Stone know these allegations were going to come out before they came out? That is a very fair question. Now, that was before Leanne Tweeden's allegations. But now we have Lindsay Menz as well. I don't know their politics, and that's okay. If what they say is true, their politics is absolutely irrelevant. And Franken obviously should go through that investigation, as I've now said several times. And Franken himself says, I take thousands of photos at the state fair surrounded by hundreds of people, and I certainly don't remember taking this picture. I feel badly that Ms. Menz came away from our interaction feeling disrespected. So, well, I'll have to look into it and find out what actually happened. Now, of course, Trump, after the Tweeden situation, had come out with these tweets saying the Al Frankenstein picture is really bad, speaks 1,000 words. Where do his hands go in pictures 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 while she sleeps? And to think that just last week he continues lecturing anyone who would listen about, he was lecturing anyone who would listen about sexual harassment, respect for women, Leslie Stahl tape. Okay, speaking of tapes, of course, Donald Trump famously said on tape, admitted, confessed, that he grabs women by the genitalia without asking them. So that is clear sexual assault. He also admitted to kissing them without asking them. And that he thought he could get away with it. Not an honest situation where, hey, I thought we were on a date and then it was going well. No, he knows that they are not giving consent and he attacks them anyway and brags about it afterwards and says they let him get away with it because he's a star. So I'm asking, and by the way, there's not one or two allegations against Donald Trump. There are now 16 credible allegations against Donald Trump. So I'm going to ask a very fair question, and I want you guys to participate here. It is a petition, tytnetwork.com/ethics, and it says this. We support the ethics investigation of Senator Al Franken. We also believe that whatever the consequences of that investigation are, it should be applied 10 times over to President Donald Trump, who has clearly been accused of worse transgressions by many more women. 16 women, some of them have accused him of sexual harassment, many others sexual assault. His own wife alleged in sworn testimony during the divorce proceedings that he had raped her and ripped her hair out while doing it. Later, after the proceedings were over and she was satisfied, she withdrew those charges. You make of that whatever you want. But she's not alone, and there are many women who have told stories about how they were invited for business meetings, and then he would put his hands all over them, and then trap them in a corner of a room once, in one of the instances, and start groping them and try to do further sexual assault, and some of the women got away, and some did not. So if Al Franken is going to be punished and these stories are true, that makes sense. We are not hypocrites about it. We are honest and fair about it. At the same time, if Al Franken gets punished as he should if these stories are true, why is the president in a much more important position have no ethics investigation? Why is there no ethics investigation when there are 16 women with credible allegations saying that he sexually assaulted them? TYTnetwork.com/ethics. Can we get a little bit of fairness in here and say, if we are going to apply a certain standard to one group of folks, at a bare minimum, we should apply that same standard to the other side. So if, for example, Al Franken is forced to resign, no problem. President Trump, I assume, will resign the next day. All of these allegations are deeply problematic for Senator Franken, and much more so for Donald Trump, because there's so many more of them and they are much more vicious. Now, it's not to say that what Senator Franken did, if true, is not a problem. It is a problem. I've now said that now 4 or 5 times, right? It is a different level what Donald Trump did, when you've already seen the details, you've covered them, they are gruesome. And for so many women, he's a serial sexual assaulter. He has done it over and over again. So at a bare minimum, let us hold them to the same standard. Anything less is not acceptable. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks tweets. El Duende Chingon writes in, to be fair, anyone who can string together a coherent thought is mocking Trump's intelligence. Agreed. The mathematician says Adelson is quietly one of the most dangerous Americans alive, and the fact that we have an administration openly for hire makes him far more dangerous. Look, I think there's a lot of dangerous Americans, and the fact that we allow them to legally bribe our politicians is insane. The defense contractors, incredibly dangerous, because they make money from creating wars where we all die. That is very dangerous, okay? Foster Freeze backed Rick Santorum, and you can go on and on and on with all the different people who back the oil companies make more from money from war because of the instability in the Middle East. A lot of these folks are dangerous. Rex Tillerson would like to make the deal with Russia. He's dangerous. Maybe we should end the private financing so that those folks don't have greater access to the government that's supposed to be a democracy. All right. By the way, wolf-pack.com, okay? Right, they're doing a fundraiser, wolf-pack.com/wedding. And if you want to get money out of politics, that's how you do it. Otherwise, we can't fix anything. Okay, Megan says, please make the Trump dope graphic a t-shirt or a hat or something. It is epically awesome. Thank you, and we probably will. So thanks for the suggestion. And then we'll probably put it as part of the 10 days of sale, Black Friday sale at shoptyt.com. So I was wearing my impeach shirt earlier today. It's the second time I've put this in the wrong place. All right. Check it out at shoptyt.com. All right, let's move on to a great story that we broke. Okay. TYT Investigates has broken another story of great import that gives you a sense of how the people in Washington get rich off of us. Now, Alex Kane and Matt Cunningham reporting here that TYT has learned that the brother of White House Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney, an architect of the GOP tax plan, is a portfolio manager for the secretive investment arm of Apple Incorporated, which under the tax plan stands to gain a bigger windfall than any other company. That is literally true. I'll share the numbers with you in a second. So who is this brother of Mick Mulvaney? Let's find out. Mulvaney's brother Ted has been a portfolio manager for Browburn Capital, Apple's wholly owned investment firm, for at least 10 years. According to previous reporting about Braeburn, during that period, he and his wife donated $24,900 to his brother, Mick's 4 congressional campaigns. Now look, he gives money to his brother's campaign. I don't think a lot of people are surprised by that. Now if there's no quid pro quo, no problem at all. Right? Now we at least have the appearance of a conflict of interest here, where his brother then helps to pass a tax plan, which is going to give him a lot more money to invest in his company, and potentially make his brother a lot more money. So to give you a sense of the scale here, according to a 2013 report by The Guardian, Braeburn manages the profits that Apple reports through its Irish subsidiaries. Now, that's really relevant because what Mulvaney is engineering is a repatriation tax holiday, in essence, so that you could take the money from things like the Irish subsidiaries and bring them back into America at a lower rate and save billions of dollars, which Braeburn would be involved with and then would later invest some of the proceeds as well. And a local Apple Incorporated subsidiary, Braeburn is responsible for investing Apple's $200 billion of cash. It's actually over that number. So we're talking about a lot of money here that is at stake. Now, it is convenient if your brother is the one making the plans that will get you some more of that money. Now, does Mick Mulvaney, though, really know what his brother does? Maybe he does. They show up at Thanksgiving, but they don't really know what they're up to, right? No. In a May 2017 C-SPAN interview, Mick Mulvaney referred to his brother Ted and said, he, quote, manages money for Apple Computer. So the budget director is perfectly aware of what his brother does and how much he would stand to gain from the plan that Mick Mulvaney is pushing today. So, well, let's then ask the next question. Is Mulvaney really that involved in the GOP tax plan? Well, we go to Kane and Cunningham's reporting here again. From the outset, Mick Mulvaney has been a key driver of the GOP tax plan, reportedly saying that he was one of the three members of the Trump administration, alongside Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, tasked with developing the tax plan. So he's the one who's actually creating the tax plan. Well, that is awfully convenient. But is it really about repatriation, allowing Apple to bring this money back from the Irish subsidiaries and other places that they have? Well, Mick Mulvaney said it is about, quote, corporate tax reform, individual tax reform, and how do you repatriate earnings overseas? So crystal clear. So how much does Apple stand to gain from this? According to a new Public Citizen report, the GOP tax plan would let Apple repatriate an estimated $252.3 billion in overseas earnings to the US at a tax rate of 12%. Apple would save an estimated $47.1 billion, the most of any corporation. And that money very likely goes right back for Ted Mulvaney to invest further. Once again, incredibly convenient. So, now, what is their excuse for all this? The White House spokesperson says, quote, the conflict laws do not extend to broad government matters affecting a large and diverse group of the public, such as corporate tax reform. Further, there is no real or apparent conflict of interest between an employee's duties and the financial interests of a sibling's employer. So, in other words, I mean, we're giving all the rich people tax cuts and all of the giant corporations tax cuts. So Mick Mulvaney's brother happens to be a direct beneficiary of this. So are all the other rich people. Not that great an excuse. And yes, I believe that it is a conflict of interest. Look, TYT Investigates just finds out the facts and reports on them. Now, as I describe the report to you, my opinion is that Apple is not any more evil than any other corporation. They're not evil or good. They are amoral. They are a corporation. They're a machine. They're a robot. They're not a person. And that machine will do whatever it takes to maximize profit. Will they do a lot of lobbying to get money into the pockets of politicians? Yes, they will definitely do that and have done that at a significant scale. And TYT Investigates has covered that as well. Do other corporations also do it? Absolutely. From time to time, do some of those corporations employ the family members of the people that are coming up with these plans at the government? Yes, and this is one of those instances. These machines will do whatever it takes to maximize profit. When we allow, as American citizens, corporations to have constitutional rights, natural rights endowed by their creator, inalienable rights, and the right to free speech, which we now say is the right to give money to politicians, this will happen over and over and over again. So this is yet another instance of it. If you want to stop it, you have to stop the private financing of elections. Otherwise, this won't be the last time by a long shot. And we know that it doesn't create jobs. That's another series that TYT Investigates has done, where Apple, for example, said they were going to create new jobs in America. Tim Cook didn't say that, but they said that they would start new manufacturing. Well, TYT Investigates looked into whether they did, and it turns out there is no such permit, and there are no plans for expansion to create more jobs in America. So no, this is simply to get more money into the pockets of their shareholders and their executives. And so it's one thing to be honest about that. It's another thing to say, oh, sure, we'll do new investments in America. There'll be wonderful jobs created in Kentucky, maybe. Not so much. But will some people get rich? Yes. Apparently the brother of the budget director will get fabulously wealthy off of this. And David K. Johnson is an expert in the field. He covers these financial issues, and he's the founder of DC Report. Here's what he said about this specific issue. It's the job of people like Mick Mulvaney's brother to engineer the interest without running afoul of tax rules. It's yet another example of how fundamentally broken our tax system is. The Trump plan will only make things worse by effectively, retroactively cutting taxes on Apple's profits. I know why the corporations want to do it. As much as it is deeply troubling to the rest of us, it is a logical thing for them to try to cut their taxes to the bare minimum. What I don't know is why we allow it. They have shifted the tax burden away from corporations and onto us, the American citizens. Corporate taxes used to pay for over a third of the budget back in 1952. Now it is 10% and shrinking, and this will make it nearly minuscule. Where did it go? It went to increase payroll taxes, which the poor and the middle class pay. And in fact, the rich don't even pay it after a certain amount. So they shifted the burden of the taxes from corporations to the middle class in America. We should not allow them to do that. You have got to get money out of politics. One group working on that is wolf-pack.com. If you like them and want to help, great. If you don't and you want to find another group, you want to find a conservative group, a progressive group, because Wolfpack's nonpartisan, go find them. Start your own group. Do whatever you got to do. But we as citizens cannot allow this fundamental redistribution of wealth out of our pockets and into the pockets of these corporations. If we let them get away with it, they will do it to us over and over. They did it during Bush in 2004. And the last time they did that tax holiday for corporations, by the way, did you get a tax holiday? I didn't get one. But corporations keep getting one almost every decade. The last time they did a tax holiday for this repatriation of cash, the amount of money they spent on lobbyists, they got a 24,000% return on investment. Corporations do not give to politicians out of charity. They do it for a return on investment. The first time they give a corporation, they're taking a gamble on that. When they give to a politician. The second time they give to a politician, it is not a gamble. They have already gotten their return on investment. And now they're back for more, billions more. Don't let them get away with it. All right. I have another tax story, but we give you guys a lot of tax stories. So you know what, let me end on Charles Manson. So let's skip ahead to Manson, guys, okay? Just want to make a quick note about this. Okay. Charles Manson is dead. He was 83 years old. He is a mass murderer. Back when it was a big deal to be a mass murderer. That was back in 1979. And as HuffPost reports, Manson was trying to precipitate a race war. People often forget about that, but he was deeply racist and then put a swastika on his forehead too. He was trying to precipitate a race war when he ordered his followers to kill 7 people, including Sharon Tate, a pregnant actress married to famed director Roman Polanski. I want to just make 2 quick points about this. First of all, he originally got the death penalty and so did his co-conspirators. But then when the Supreme Court overruled the death penalty for some period of time, their convictions became life sentences. So some people who were in favor of the death penalty says, oh, it's not good enough for them to rot in jail. Well, Manson rotted in jail for decades and decades. And you know, the ravings of a lunatic mind in a room by himself, going around and around and around. What they did was horrific, but that is a pretty significant punishment, and I am super glad that he got it. So sometimes there is something worse than the death penalty, and he obviously did not belong out in the free world. So I'm glad that he served his last days in prison. And I think we did the right thing by putting him in prison for life. But I wanted to also make a second point. Everybody knows Charles Manson. Everybody talks about Charles Manson nonstop. There's even, as you know, of course, Marilyn Manson is named partly after Charles Manson and partly after Marilyn Monroe. I mean, he's in pop culture nonstop. Because, oh my God, seven people died. Well, that's now become commonplace. So you know some of the other names of the people who did worse massacres in America. You might not remember all of them, and we certainly don't talk about them at the great magnitude that we do with Manson. But I want to give you some numbers. Between 1982, so we try to go back to 1969 when these murders happened, but there's the data back to 69 is not as reliable. So let's just stick to 1982 to 2017. There have been 38 incidents where seven or more people were killed. All 38 of those folks are not as famous as Charles Manson. You want to know why? Because back then, it was a big deal to kill seven people. That was a gigantic deal. Now, we've kind of become accustomed to it. Here, before I show you the names, and we don't like to show the names, but I wanted to give it to you in this context because Charles Manson is so famous. Do you remember who did the Orlando shooting? Do you remember his name? Maybe some of you do and maybe some of you don't. Do you even remember the guy who just did the Texas First Baptist Church shooting? Do you remember the name of the Virginia Tech shooter? Do you remember the name of the Sandy Hook shooter? You know why? Because we're now used to mass shootings. We're now used to massacres. That's what they are, they're massacres. So I'll just remind you of some of the more famous ones. Devin Kelly was the guy who did the Texas First Baptist Church killing, 26 dead. Stephen Paddock did the Las Vegas shooting, 58 dead. Omar Martin did the Orlando shooting, 49 dead. Dylan Roof also wanted to start a race war, did the Charleston shooting, 9 dead. Adam Lanza did Sandy Hook, 27 dead. James Holmes did the Aurora Theater shooting in Colorado, 12 dead. Sung Hui Cho did the Virginia Tech massacre, 32 dead. Eric Harrison, Dylan Klebold did Columbine, 13 dead. The reason I give you this story is because I don't want us to get used to the massacres. It should be a giant event. It should be something extraordinary. Unfortunately, in today's America, it has become far too ordinary. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, unfortunately, there is a ceaseless torrent of sexual harassment and assault cases. And I say unfortunately because we find out the depths of the problems. And I think we as a society and here at the Young Turks are going to have some uncomfortable conversations around it because it's important and necessary. We're going to do that in the case of Russell Simmons and Brett Ratner when we come back, and also Glenn Thrush, the New York Times reporter. We'll be right back.